Jim Dellatoso. It's really a pleasure speaking to you, one of the main people in the Phoenix Light story. And we have a Phoenix Light series we're still doing. How are you?
Hi, Jerry. Very good.
You know, talking about this Phoenix Light series we're doing, we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights pretty soon.
I know. It seems like only 9 years in here.
I'm glad you made it to Sholo, to the premiere tonight, Jim.
I'm happy to come up here. I've actually known Bob Miles since the late 70s.
Oh, have you?
Yes. I knew him when he was rebuilding helicopters, and I first got involved in this field of analyzing pictures, and he had prior knowledge of the topic, and in some ways was one of my gurus.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad you've known him all these years. What do you think of his product here? I mean, the movie.
I think it's an outstanding communication tool. You know, one of the foundations for investigations and analyzing pictures and gathering evidence, as I do, is to be able to have a concise way of telling people two sides of a story, facts that they can make up their minds about things. And I think that the high quality way that this film delivers that for an objective audience is really first class.
How did the audience take it tonight?
The audience took it as if they were watching a feature film, not watching a television documentary on a big screen. There was an anticipation. I think that there was going to be a TV commercial at any minute because it was, produced in a high definition video format, which was talked about at the beginning. But the audience took it after just a little while as a feature film and something that was new information. There were things that were presented juxtaposition that were new to me. So for many of the people in the audience, I think it was something that they would want to tell their family and friends.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you on that. I've seen the DVD. I'd love to see it in high definition. I'm sure it's very good.
Yes, it was very good, and it was the human factor. The absence of science was quite all right because it brought it to the human level where you were anticipating what someone might be feeling out of their words, and you actually got it. It wasn't just a delivery of mechanical statements. It was the believability of the witnesses, and I think that was done in a first-class manner that sometimes is lost in a big screen.
Let's get to the Phoenix Lights for a minute. Anything new? Phoenix always seems to me like there's lots of action going on down there.
Yeah, and just so happens that after doing analysis of pictures all over the world for 30 years, it's going on in my own backyard. There's a lot of people that have gotten really motivated to go out daily, many of them daily, and look in the sky and shoot imagery. And a lot of times we find mistakes, military projects. The TRW North of Grumman Trailblazer Cancer Project is all over the valley, which is frequently mistaken. But there's things going on that don't match in my database.
Well, like what do you mean?
Well, the way that I analyze pictures and have been doing it for a long time is like fingerprints, is like medical imagery. I have a large database of known objects, and I extract the data out of the new videos that I get and compare that data to my database of known objects and see if I get a match. If I get a match with the hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of lights and star clusters and planetary illumination and city lights and street lights and mm-hmm. large models and scale models and control objects, then we know what it is. If I don't get a match, then it's an unknown. And I would say three times a month I get images that I don't have a match. And there's always debate and discussion about it, you know, whether this technique is correct or there should be another technique. You know, we have very fine equipment, a lot of really good experts that consult me all the time, and if I make a mistake, I quickly rectify it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things going on in Phoenix because people are looking up in the sky. eye and paying attention.
You think that's the reason, the main reason? People are just watching.
People are just watching. There's become a motivation to be watching.
So by inference, then, Jim, I take it you think this is pretty common everywhere.
I think that people go outside and look up and pay attention for a lot of hours each day and each night. Within a week, they will see something very unusual.
You were there flares involved in the original sighting? I mean, it seemed to me that maybe flares were launched later.
The time that the flares were released, though, was a different time than when the 10 o'clock images were made.
Mm-hmm.
The Maryland National Guard was already back at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, landed and on the ground by 8:30. And Lieutenant Colonel Tanaka, who gave us the interview and told us what all they had done, didn't know that other photographs and videotape had been done for 10 o'clock. And whether it was something that they normally would be doing, a mission that they would be doing, or something that was diversionary, I can't speak for their actions. I do know that in the control testing that we did later by going down to the Goldwater testing range and photographs, 35 millimeter film and videotape, sometimes with the same cameras as the witnesses, that the images that were shot at 10 o'clock were not the same images shot off at the Barry Goldwater range.
It's an interesting subject. We could talk for hours about it. We need to wrap it up here because you had some other people to talk. Just finally, one final deal. Anything new in Phoenix? I mean, new spate of lights or new sightings? Or did you what do you make of that mile-long triangle that people talk about? Is there any pictures of that? There doesn't seem to be.
There's two witnesses in town that do have videotape of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Giordano has videotape of that.
Yeah, I know Rich.
Yeah.
Rich Giordano. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll have to talk to him about that. Hey, Jim, it's been a pleasure.
Pleasure talking to you. Turn it back over to Bob Miles.
Okay.
How you doing, Jer?
Okay, now, did you recondition those helicopters and then fly them yourself?
I'm sorry, Jer, I couldn't hear you with all the...
I said Jim mentioned that you reconditioned helicopters at one time.
My associate and I did. I was involved very briefly, but the...
I'm trying to lay something out here, Robert. Maybe you have been developing these black helicopters, maybe.
Now, would you like to speak to another individual who
yes.
stood up and told her experience?
Yes.
Okay, come on over. This is Jerry Pippin. Introduce yourself and talk to the world.
Hello, Jerry. My name is Lydia.
Hey, Lydia. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just...
Okay, what did you think of the movie?
Well, I loved it. It was really good. You got a little bit of everything in it.
Now, well, where do you live?
I live here in Concho, in the White Mountains. I live on a...
So not far from Shoal.
That's correct. About a 40-minute drive away.
Well, it's pretty country up there, but a lot... have you been able to ski yet?
Well,
no snow?
Not now.
Not yet. Okay, now tell me a little bit about your experiences. Why you wanted to come to this movie? I mean, you must have had some connection.
I'll let you know. When I was a young girl, maybe about 8 years old or so, my brother, who's like 2 years older than I, he was gifted and he was able to bring home a telescope from school. And he woke me up at about like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning so I could go out and see Saturn. Now, this is in Costa Mesa, which is Orange County, California.
I'm familiar with Costa Mesa. In fact, I used to record a radio show down there at a studio.
So, you know, we're out in the city.
Yes.
I was like 45 minutes walking distance away from the ocean, which was nice.
Yes.
Looking up into the sky, and yes, I did see Saturn, but I also saw a fast walker out there as a young child. And we both saw this UFO out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
amazing stunts, you know, just darting in the sky and going in different directions. But I have seen other, you know, UFOs as well. One time I was up in Ojai, and I was up in the...
Yeah, I know where that is, too, up toward Palmdale.
Ventura And anyway,
Ventura, right? You're right.
In Santa Paula.
Right, or going the wrong direction. Okay.
That's okay. And there's a lot of sightings out there.
Up the Ventura Highway, I guess.
Yeah, but up in Ojai, there's a location where we saw two balls of light or spheres, and they were like out in the wilderness, out in the country, going down a slope, a hill, you know, that had brush and stuff. And, you know, it couldn't be a vehicle, you know, because it was the terrain, you can tell, just didn't, it was just a mountainside, you know, you don't have vehicles in that location. And they were just going in different, you know, they would cross one another, they would go up and down, one would lead the other, and then the other one would follow. And we were just having a great time that night watching that. I also had an experience here in Sedona during broad daylight.
Was this a sighting as well?
This was a UFO sighting as well. There was a ruin that I was traveling to. I don't know the name of it. But since then, they've kind of like, because people would vandalize and do things, they kind of like were working on it and just kind of securing it better. Because I guess there weren't a lot of traffic there. And it was during broad daylight, and it was during the time change, like in 1995.
So you've had a lot of experiences with...
I want to tell you this one. What happened is I looked up in the sky, and up over the mountain, and there was, like, workers working. There was a jet, and right behind the wings of the jet were two discs. And I called the driver to stop so he could come out and look, and he saw the one and didn't see the other one. But they weren't that far, and they were, like, tailing behind the wings of the jet. It was just, like, very close by. And they were both, you know, in the same position. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right behind the wing and just a little off to the side. And just following the jet. So what does that tell you?
Well, I mean, you can draw all kinds of... Something's going on for sure. Have you ever had contact with something?
The only kind of contact, and I don't know if this is a contact or not, but it's an alien probe. Let me just tell you the story. At around 1993, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, my fiancé was going out, you know, out of the bedroom and into the bathroom. And I was living in a... 52 apartment complex in Costa Mesa, okay? And as far as the atmosphere, it wasn't, maybe a little bit of cloud, but that's about it. No main nasty weather or anything. But once he opened up the door, and like inside my bedroom is the circuit breakers, okay? Hovering about 3.5 feet off the floor was a sphere the size of a volleyball. And it was very difficult to see the nuclei of that sphere. But what happened was there was tons and it was just so many electrical arms. I mean, it was bright white just in the sphere. You couldn't see the darkness, okay? It was just full of this. And you could hear it just snap crackling. And it just hovered, and then it just slowly came into the bedroom. And I had this out of a rug that I made out of virgin wool about like 5 feet. It went into my room at a slow, consistent pace. And I was, the whole time I was just admiring the sphere. And it didn't, you know.
So you weren't afraid, exactly.
And then it just dissipated, and you could smell electricity. And in the bedroom and in the bathroom and in the kitchen, it blew out some of the light switches or, you know, some of the circuitry. And I had the apartment manager check it out with the electrician, and they said it was a lamp, which was one of those fan lights in the kitchen. That was the only thing that they saw that might have been a problem. But to me, I want to call it ball lightning, but it's not ball lightning because I've studied ball lightning. Ball lightning comes when you've got bad weather and it's sporadic. This thing wasn't sporadic. It was just there, and it just no rhyme or reason.
So you saw this, I guess we'll call it an orb, right?
Well, you know, I've seen orbs, you know, from people dying. It's not the same thing. We're talking lightning. We're talking little electrical arms that were just perfect in a sphere, you know, and it just thousands of them just packed right in it. And the electrical smell. And so I did call the Irvine University to try to report my story to them, to the technical people, so maybe they could investigate it, but I've never heard from them, so I just kind of kept it to myself.
Anything happening to you recently?
Well, no, not recently, but I do encourage everybody to, you know, during late at night, look up into the sky, and you know, sometimes you'll see a satellite, and sometimes you'll be lucky, and you might see a UFO out there.
And you give a thumbs up to the movie.
And I certainly do. I really enjoyed it. Wendell Stevens was there, and he's kind of like one of my movie idols.
Yeah, I like Wendell, too.
And I just wanted to say, the movie's really great. Everybody's got to see it, and you know, open up your eyes and be informed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you. This is Jerry Pippin, and we're visiting on the phone at the premiere in Sholo, Arizona, of the Fast Walkers High Definition documentary. Now, you can get that DVD right here on our website. You can order it, and you can get it for $19.95. Just click on the button and order it.
I'm Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase the Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production. We are at the Fast Walkers World Premiere in high definition on the big screen at the WME 5 Theater in Sholo. Robert Miles is the producer. Sholo is his hometown. In fact, let's pick up the show again with Robert. Here he comes, and I think he has another guest.
Okay, he's going to introduce himself. And Kevin, excuse me, come on over and introduce yourself to Jerry Pippin and say hello. Hey, Jer.
Yes.
We got the local radio personality here, Kevin, and he also reviews the movies up here.
Great.
So he's standing by to talk with you.
Okay, good.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
What's the call letters there at the station?
Actually, White Mountain Radio here would be AM 970.
Mm-hmm. And so it's good to talk to another old radio guy here, or you're a young radio guy.
Well, I'll tell you something funny. Basically, I've been doing local TV news with a show that I produced called the White Mountain News for almost 7 years now, and this is my second crack at radio. It's for local talk radio, you know, to talk about all kinds of issues. You have to find, obviously, some company that's got the guts to do it and then a sponsor. So that happened again recently, but my major background really is more about filmmaking and so forth. And so watching Fast Walkers is really kind of interesting because I'm watching.
Yeah, I want to get your reaction.
Yeah, technically, I mean, I was just going over it with the director there, how it was all put together technically and what they did.
Yeah, Anthony?
Right, with Anthony Wright. And it was really cool. It was really cool what he did and the decisions that he made. It looked incredible, absolutely stunning. I mean, absolutely, really just incredible.
And what did you think of the HD product?
Well, the HD was great, but one of the things that he had to do was he had to knock it from HD down to 24 progressive mode so it looks more like 35 millimeter. So that's what he did, and they knew that was their plan of attack from the beginning. So it came off looking great, you know, without it looking personally. I don't like HD. Personally, HD is...
You ever do a UFO show on your radio talk shows? You might now.
But I thought that the mood of the piece is really cool because it wasn't hitting people over the head with what had to be said, but by the same token, the content was so interesting that most of the delivery of these people that he got at this conference was very even-tempered and very succinct, very clear. Obviously, these are people that have spoken about their topics many times before. And it came along very well. The music was good. It was a very nice documentary piece, basically just laying out the foundations of saying, hey, here's what's going on. And if this doesn't make you want to know more about something, well, then there's something wrong with you. And I think that's pretty much what this piece comes off as. It comes off as a piece to titillate people into really wondering, wow, you know, I really think I should know more about this. And I think that's the best thing, anything that could happen in a movie or in a kind of a documentary as this was.
Well, now what kind of project are you working on? You're bound to have something going on in the video.
Well, I'm working on something, hardly anything dealing with UFOs. I'll tell you this, though. It's got more to do with babes, what I'm working on now. That's what this one movie does need. It needs alien babes. It's got no babes. No beautiful aliens running around the screen, not in this one.
That sounds like my kind of movie. But anyway.
Exactly. I know. Actually, what I'm working on now is a project called Vegas Date. And it's about a fictitious reality TV show where stars get sent out to go together on a date in Las Vegas. And people thought it would be a great idea to hook up a gangster rapper with a Britney Spears-type diva. And it's such a disaster, it makes Crash look like Mary Poppins as far as political incorrectness is concerned.
Well, so are you going to plan to put this DVD on the market?
Oh, eventually, yeah. Well, we'll send it out to distributors when we're done, probably in a couple...
Fantastic. Well, we'll stay in touch. Maybe we'll help you promote it a little bit. Hey, it's great talking to you.
Oh, you absolutely, too. I'll give you back to... I call him the D-Man. I call Robert D. Miles, I call him the D-Man because of the Doug. I think the D is better. Here he is. Thanks for the time. Well, here comes your next one.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. How you doing, Jerry?
Okay, so they're calling you the D-Man, huh?
What's that?
The D-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you want one more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this is Ken. Ken will introduce himself.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, not much. I mean, it's pretty bad when Robert makes you have to do your own introduction.
Hey, well, that's okay. I'll do a little introduction. Basically, I'm in the production business. Did some stuff with the El Chupa cover and Ghost years ago, so I'm kind of a little bit into the paranormal field. So I wanted to see this fine work of art out here that these guys are doing. From a pretty much big picture perspective, it was really... a well put together piece, and I must say that it was a surprise to me on that end, just because I'm in the business, so I know it well. I think from the covering all perspectives of it is probably as quick as you could possibly do it, and I think it's going to get some attention.
Yeah. Now, are you based in Sholo or somewhere else?
No, I'm a Phoenix guy.
Okay, so you came all the way up.
Yeah.
Good. And you're glad you did, I take it.
Absolutely, yeah. It was well worth the time. And, of course, you know, when time is money and as everything is, you're always thinking, hey, is this going to be a good investment of time? And it certainly was.
Now, your name again is?
Is Ken Liljegren.
And you have your own production company?
Yes.
Yeah, and have you ever done, you said you did some paranormal stuff. Have you ever been over to Sedona, to the Bradford Branch, or any place like that?
You know, I haven't. I've been to Sedona, but I haven't done...
I mean, Arizona's got lots of all kinds of things, from Native American lore to literally to ghosts, to UFOs, to extraterrestrials, to interdimensional beings. You don't have to go very far to find a subject.
No, you don't, and it's a matter of finding the time, and if you're interested in covering it from a documentary perspective, you got to go out there and find the people that know the stories. But
they just had a Phoenix Film Festival. Did you enter something?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I probably should have. I've done some work with Bob Dean. Also, we did a series called The UFO Insiders that's being distributed on Netflix, but as far as this particular... should take a look at it. It's very well done, and I just met these guys, the producers and directors tonight, nicest guys you could ever meet.
That's true. That's true. Hey, thanks a lot, Ken.
All right. Hold on 1 second here.
Yeah. This is
putting on the director of the film.
Hi, Jerry.
You know, he's so formal, Anthony, when he introduced you, like he doesn't know you very well.
Isn't it?
So you got to see the audience watch it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a real treat.
You know, it is a real treat, and it's to get to see it in a movie theater, man, and have it look just so fantastic and looks like a movie. The quality is beautiful. The HD, really, we achieved the goal that we were going for. And to have the audience feedback, so many of the audience members came up afterwards and just, expressed to us how wonderful of a job they think that we did with the film, and what great work the film is going to do, and that kind of thing. That was just tremendous.
Now, when you see it in a theater like this in high definition, I know you have plans to put it in other theaters, in limited runs, right? You're probably going to pick your spots.
Sure. Right now, unless we get massive support from a large distributor who wants to pick up the film and take it to a nationwide theatrical distribution, it will probably have to be a city-by-city release or something of that nature where, we can travel around with it.
Well, it sounds to me, Anthony, like you have a good track record already started here with this theater there in your dad's hometown.
That's right. The WME5 here, the theater in Sholo, has just been a godsend, really. Jerry and Teddy Crony have given so much of their extra time and their effort and their energy to make this happen that, this hometown effort has been a big success so far.
Well, I'd like to see you spread out more than Arizona, but I know you got some interesting places there, including your home of Phoenix, and also up in Sedona would be a nice place to have something. Oh, lots of places. You could make a career just touring Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. I would really love to see the community in Sedona get behind this, just because they're another small community, but they're also very... they're into a lot of...
Well, you brought up the subject about Sholo. When Robert, your dad, first mentioned, that he's going to have it in Sholo, I thought, I don't know how many people have experiences in Sholo, but evidently quite a few. There seems to be a lot of interest.
Yeah. We had some very special guests here tonight, guests that don't normally come out, which I won't name because I don't know that I'm at liberty to. But very special guests from this area came out to our film and actually watched the film and stood up and spoke for the first time in a long, long time.
When you say special guests, you mean people have had experiences.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
well, Anthony, I'm glad to hear it went over well, and it's showing the rest of the week through I guess next Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere Thursday.
It's going to play all the way through Thursday.
Okay.
The last thing I would say is that we just need people to tell their movie theaters that they would like to see this film and, demand it, and it'll come.
And they, of course, you have the website. They can contact you, and we have a link to it right here on the radio show. Okay, thanks a lot, Anthony. I'm glad to see it was successful.
Thank you, Jerry, and thanks again for all your help and support with this. It's just been a tremendous, tremendous...
Well, you've done a dynamite job.
Thank you.
Right. Hey,
okay, Robert, this has to be a super pleasure for you to have a sold-out crowd in your hometown.
Oh, this is a wonderful experience. The people of the city, and especially the fact that Travis Walton came, and we were able to acknowledge the fact that he has made a great contribution, and in talking with him, I feel he will again. And we want to thank you guys, Jerry, all the wonderful people out there for making Fast Walkers a success. And it's just beginning. As you know, we intend to make a difference. And it's shows like yours and people like your listeners that will carry the word. And we'll get this exopolitics thing will become a household word. But I want to introduce you to my lady. Just say hi to Jerry Pippen. This is Fran. And she's a really, really big part of this. She helped me finish my book, Jerry. She helped me design the Safe Space One and did art and conceptual. And in addition to that, she's actually been aboard the ship. And in my book, she is the essence of Kalina, who's one of my main characters in the Safe Space story. This is Fran.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Fran, how are you?
Well, I just think I just got promoted to angelhood, don't you?
Yeah, I thought so. I was impressed.
Impressed me, too.
And where do you live?
I live down in Phoenix.
Okay. So, anyway, you and Robert go back a ways.
Yes.
Well, he's a pretty good guy.
Yes, he is.
What did you think of the premiere tonight?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful.
I meant the whole crowd, the ambiance. So.
Oh, the audience was very receptive. Just, you know, they were quiet, you know, nobody, and then they asked questions, and, you know, everything.
You look great. Yeah,
they were really interested, and, you know, you give people an opening, and they will tell you their story.
Yeah, there's quite a few people there had stories.
Exactly.
And I, when Robert first mentioned that, I didn't think much would be happening in Sholo, but I'm amazed.
Yeah, it was sold out.
Yeah. Well, I met from the experiences and the people into UFOs and ETs and the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just amazing.
Oh, it is. And I think this is the first one that I've ever seen. You know, I've seen, of course, we've all seen those kind of things, but this is done by people that are actually in that business, you know, and it made such a difference, you know. Nobody thought it was a farce, you know.
Well, so you give it a 5-star rating.
Yes, I would.
It's great to meet you.
No, it's nice to meet you.
Okay, let me talk to Robert again.
Okay, Jerry.
Yeah, I guess we're going to wrap it up then.
Okay, great, friend. Thanks for coming on. Okay, the crowd is still here, Jerry, and they're still loud, so I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Well, I'll let you go. Talk to everybody. The next high-definition big-screen showing will be in Phoenix in late February and then in Montreal, Canada, in March. If you want to get the DVD, it's excellent in quality and in content. All you have to do is order it right here on the website. $19.95 plus shipping. Major credit cards, and even if you want to, we can take the payment out of your checking account. It's another way that we try to please in making it easy to shop JerryPippin.com. And this really is a great way to buy this excellent DVD. This program was produced and edited by James Fortley. Until next time, cheers.